Jeremiah chapter 17, the cursed and the blessed. This chapter is a continuation of the same word of the Lord against Judah. The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond. It is graven upon the table of their heart and upon the horns of your altars, whilst their children remember their altars and their groves. Revised version, Asherim, by the green trees upon the high hills. This is a further reference to the lies and vanity of the preceding context. As to the Asherim, plural, which the Revised Version here substitutes for groves, the note of the revisers in their preface may be cited. The Hebrew word Asherah, which is uniformly and wrongly rendered grove in the AV, most probably denotes the wooden symbol of a goddess, and the revisers therefore have not hesitated to introduce it as a proper name in the singular, Judges 6, and so on, with the plurals Asherim, Exodus 34, and Asheroth, Judges 3, following the analogy of Baalim, Judges 3, and Ashtaroth, Judges 2, which are already familiar. The symbol was associated with the licentious worship of the Queen of Heaven, which Jeremiah had to rebuke later in the land of Egypt, in chapter 44. And because of these things, the mountain of the Lord's house was given over to destruction. O my mountain in the field, I will give thy substance and all thy treasures to the spoil, and thy high places because of sin. Revised version, throughout all thy borders. When it is said, ye have kindled a fire in mine anger, which shall burn for ever, must be remembered that this is something altogether different from the hell fire of theological tradition. The expression is to be interpreted with reference to the similar one at the end of this chapter. I will kindle a fire in the gates of Jerusalem, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched. The fire of Gehenna, of Christ's illusions, consumed the rubbish, but the valley itself is at last to be made holy unto the Lord. Jeremiah 31. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath of the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in the salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. It has been thought that the occasion of this graphic contrast was the controversy between Jeremiah and Zedekiah immediately before the fall of Jerusalem, that the typically cursed man was the king and the typically blessed man was the prophet, who was so badly treated. And it may be so. Zedekiah certainly trusted in man and made flesh his arm and departed from the Lord. He did this in his reliance upon Egypt, his broken oath to Nebuchadnezzar, and his utter apostasy. But every scripturally instructed reader of the Bible knows how applicable is the proclamation to all flesh, and the appropriation by the Lord Jesus Christ of the Word of God to the church in Thyatira in Revelation 2 shows us his application of the same to the Christian community. All the churches shall know that I am he that searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. In harmony with this is his opening proclamation in each of the seven epistles to the churches of Asia, I know thy works. His prophecy here is the continuation of the prophetic ministry in Israel upon a higher and more divine plane. He, above all, is the type of the blessed, the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is, and he is the living illustration of the blessedness, familiar to Israel in their psalms of the temple, the fruitful evergreen by the rivers of waters, that is here also before the people in the prophecy of Jeremiah. None but he is competent to know and judge the heart of man. He is the manifestation, first in the flesh, but now in the spirit, of the Lord, the hope of Israel. He is the heir to the glorious high throne of the prophet's allusion in this place. Jeremiah will be satisfied when he inherits the kingdom of God under him. The words of Jeremiah's prayer in verse 16, as for me, I have not hastened from being a pastor, revised version, shepherd, to follow thee, presents some little difficulty. It is thought that the Hebrew word which stands for the phrase from being a shepherd may be better translated because of evil. The sense being, I have not continually desired evil to come upon the people. Yet the prophet prayed, let them be confounded that persecute me, but let not me be confounded. Let them be dismayed, but let not me be dismayed. Bring upon them the day of evil, and destroy them with double destruction. Then God commanded the prophet to proclaim the law of the Sabbath in all the gates of Jerusalem and to remind the people of their disobedience in profaning the Sabbath. And the word of the Lord continued, if ye diligently hearken unto me, saith the Lord, to bring in no burden through the gates of this city on the Sabbath day, but hallow the Sabbath day to do no work therein, then shall there enter into the gates of this city kings and princes sitting upon the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, they and their princes, the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and this city shall remain for ever. And they shall come from the cities of Judah and from the places about Jerusalem and from the land of Benjamin and from the plain and from the mountains and from the south, bringing burnt offerings and sacrifices of praise unto the house of the Lord. But if ye will not hearken unto me to hallow the Sabbath day, and not to bear a burden, even entering in at the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then will I kindle a fire in the gates thereof, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched. The Sabbath was the oldest ordinance of God and was instituted in Eden before sin entered into the world. It was a sign and memorial of God's rest after the working days of creation. Under the law of Moses, its remembrance was commanded by God and its profanation was punished by death, that souls might learn not to do presumptuously. The elect in Israel called the Sabbath a delight, holy of the Lord, and honorable, not doing their own ways, nor finding their own pleasures, nor speaking their own words. They kept the Sabbath, choosing the things that pleased God, and taking hold of his covenant. For such there was, at last, a sure place in the Father's house. But the apostate were not so. For them the Sabbath was a weariness. They wish it were well over, that they might get to business again. And there is a lesson here for the disciples of Christ. Though the Sabbath is no longer an observance under the terms of the Old Covenant, there is a day of remembrance in connection with Christ. And those who turn it into a day of pleasure and business are no more acceptable to God than were the apostate in Israel of old. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into the rest that remaineth.